Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Arsenal Özil, marca Mesut Özil, el envío al área, el remate, y ahí está el primer tanto del partido, no lo celebra por supuesto, Aaron Ramsey, 0-1 para el Arsenal.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there, welcome to another Arscast Extra, brought to you this week by Audible. You can get yourself a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial by going to audibletrial.com/Arscast, I think. Good morning, James. Good afternoon, James, brother.
Good afternoon, it is indeed now, yeah. We're running slightly late.
We are slightly late. I spent some of this morning cleaning out my freezer. You know the way the top shelf of your freezer and your fridge freezer? Well, mine tends to get a bit like ice agey.
Yeah, it encroaches.
Yes.
Is that what happens? The ice sort of slowly closes in.
It's like a glacier.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. And you find things kind of buried in it. It's like a kind of form of archaeology, that, isn't it?
Uncovering. I did. I found in the top shelf, which, you know, for about 3 months I haven't actually been able to reef out, I found some chicken fillets, some steak pieces and some mince, and some mini potato waffles.
Amazing.
I'm going to give all the meat to the dog because I don't trust it, but mini potato waffles would surely last like cockroaches beyond a nuclear war.
I think so, yeah. I was just thinking, like, if there had been a nuclear holocaust, imagine if that freezer was sort of the only thing that survived, and, you know, whatever society that succeeded ours, they'd have to rebuild their picture of the way we lived purely from those things.
They were a very advanced civilization. They were able to make potatoes into waffles.
Exactly.
Think of
what
else
we do well out of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
So how's it all going in Edinburgh?
Edinburgh's lovely. I think today there are forecasts for sort of gale force winds, which should be interesting. But looking outside now, I can't see any sign of that. All trees appear to be stood up rather than fallen down. So we shall see. Having a lovely old time at the fringe. It's been great, to be honest. But yeah, my sense of time and day has been severely hampered.
Yeah.
The fact it's the afternoon and a Wednesday is something that I have to constantly remind myself. It wouldn't surprise me if I've got that pretty wrong.
You only have to remind yourself of that on a Wednesday afternoon.
No, that's my mistake. Yeah. That's why I keep messing it up, because I remind myself constantly it's Wednesday afternoon, and on a Thursday and Friday that just won't fly.
Yeah, hanging out with anyone famous up there?
Hanging out near some famous people.
Right.
Let me tell you. Very near them. I have to. There's a lot of comedians up here. In fact, the woman from The Killing I met the other day. Do you know? Did you ever watch The Killing? The sort of Danish, Scandi.
Oh, the woman with the jumper. The jumper woman. The jumper woman. Wow.
She wasn't wearing the jumper. Obviously, didn't want to get recognised.
Yeah.
But I was introduced to her by a mutual friend. She looked like she was suspicious of me. But then again, that's just how I'm used to seeing her.
That is true of most people, though. They do look suspiciously at you.
Yeah, they do, yeah. And with good reason. Very good reason.
But she didn't suspect you in the killing of Hannah Buch-Larsen, no?
She didn't mention it. She didn't mention it, but then she wouldn't. She's very good. She keeps her cards close to her chest. I've seen it, Series 1. I know how it goes.
Yeah.
A few of those sorts of people around. Rowan Atkinson, he's walking around up here. It's a bit weird, like it's a bit like just seeing Mr. Bean actually exists. But then sometimes when you see Arsene Wenger on the touchline, you can believe that's the case.
Yeah.
When he's kicking the bottles and what have you. it's been great, thank you. What news over there?
No news over here, really. We've just been, you know, hanging around, doing things and stuff. Nothing exciting.
No, there's not been much Arsenal news, has there, since we last spoke? It's been the Emirates Cup, I guess.
Yes, exactly. I mean, that's where I was going after that. It was a beautiful segue into the Emirates Cup, I think.
Yeah,
did you get to see it?
I did, although not live. I sort of watched, you know, delayed coverage, but I did see it. Yeah, I enjoyed the first game. The second game was not quite as easy on the eye.
The first game, obviously notable for the fact that Yaya Sanogo didn't score one or two or three, but four goals in one game. Is he now on track, or is he now cursed with the Arshavin Baptista thing? Players have scored four, and it just didn't work out for them. Or are we jumping to a ridiculous conclusion?
I slightly worry, has he used up his sort of allocation of goals for the next few months in one outing? I have to say, I'm not sure it's something I ever thought I'd see, a game, albeit a friendly, in which Yaya Sanogo scored four times. But, it's a great thing, isn't it? I mean, as a striker, it's obviously going to play on your mind that you haven't, you know, put the ball in the net in an Arsenal shirt. And although that's not an official fixture, it was, you know, decent attended game at the Emirates Stadium. I think it will have meant something to him, and his celebrations certainly seem to suggest that. And hopefully it allows him to kick on, because that's really the biggest thing missing from his game, is that kind of composure in front of goal.
Some interesting displays on the Saturday as well. Joel Campbell did well for about an hour, scored a really nice goal also. Very, very tidy finish. Accomplished finish. I suppose the finish of a man who's been playing regular first-team football for 3 years and scoring, maybe not so much in his first couple of years, but certainly last season in Greece.
Yeah, it was a really good finish. I mean, to be honest, looking at it, he could have had a couple more possibly. There was one that he sort of took early, maybe on his right foot, they didn't hit quite so well. But he's a very dangerous player, isn't he? Like, he's got pace, he's got a bit of skill. He likes playing on that right-hand side because he can cut in onto his left foot. I think he's an exciting prospect, and it seems that Arsene Wenger is really sort of determined to give him a chance. Whether or not that lasts, you know, right up until the transfer deadline, I don't know. But I certainly feel more optimistic about the prospect of him staying and playing a part in the Arsenal squad this season than I did prior to the Emirates Cup. It seems whatever he's done so far, he's doing the right thing, and the manager's making the right noises. I mean, I know you've always been a little bit sceptical about whether or not he's actually going to make the cut and be part of the squad next year. Have you seen anything that changes your mind at all?
Well, certainly in that hour, his contribution was really positive. And what you're looking for when a player is in that position is for him to show the manager and show everyone that he can contribute to the squad. I thought, some of his touches and he was switched on defensively. As I said on the blog, I think he needs to work on his fitness. Some of that, of course, will be post-World Cup tiredness. But I think as well he might just need to get himself up to the pace of the English game. The manager said afterwards, I, there's no reason to let him go. I want to keep him. Which I still feel is a little bit open-ended. You know, there's no reason to let him go now, but if I bring in somebody else, then maybe. Or, you know, I want to keep him, but it's down to him to prove it. I think he's done made a good start anyway.
Yeah,
showing the manager, you know, that he can really make a difference in certain games. So,
I think he's made a good start. And the other thing that could be, of course, including that I want to keep him thing is what's the player's will? You know,
yeah.
We talked about that before. Is he happy to be part of the squad? If he walks in and says, "Look, I need to be playing games in the last week of the transfer window. I need to be playing regularly," then maybe he'll have to be sold. So, I think it is still slightly in the balance. But I'd be very happy to see him part of the squad. I think he's an exciting prospect and someone who gives us, you know, depth in a number of different positions.
Yeah, okay. Well, Callum Chambers, he started on Saturday. And what do we draw from the fact that he started at centre-half? Is it just because we didn't have any centre-halves because Nacho Monreal was also starting at centre-half and you wouldn't include him as a part of our centre-half roster? But perhaps it is interesting that he started centrally with Hector Bellerin on the right-hand side.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, just on that note, I thought Bellerin was really excellent.
Yeah, I saw him in New York, and it was difficult to make any kind of judgment because the game in New York was played in intense heat and at exhibition pace, really. So he did try a few things in New York, but they didn't come off, whereas on Saturday against Benfica, they did come off. He got well down the right-hand side quite a number of times and got into the box well. So, yeah, I was impressed.
Yeah, really impressed. I think he might have been the standout performer for me. I mean, Sanogo aside, obviously. But Chambers at centre-back, well, it's partly necessity, isn't it? We're not blessed with centre-backs at the moment. I don't think Monreal is considered a long-term option there, as you've just said. But Chambers could be. He looked pretty comfortable there on both days of the tournament. So I think that he's certainly someone the manager will be considering. But I still would have my doubts about going into a season, if we accept that Vermaelen is probably off, having Chambers as my third-choice centre-back. I'm just not sure, for all his athleticism, for his technical qualities, he's got enough experience in that role. And it's, you know, we talked about this last week, it's a position where that's so important. So I think he looks promising there, but I do think it's more of a long-term option. I'd be a little bit surprised to see him playing with any kind of regularity there this season. I think it's a short-term measure while we wait for people, Mertesacker, to come back and possibly another signing to arrive. I mean, yeah, what's your take? Do you feel similarly?
I think that if and when Vermaelen leaves, we need to make a signing. And I'm happy for Chambers to be used centrally if we're going to keep Bellerin, you know, as a backup for Debussy. I think Chambers will be used there a bit as well. But I do think either way, we need to have four centre halves, and if one of those is Chambers, and if the other one is a signing that comes in, perhaps somebody with a bit of experience who isn't necessarily going to want to play week in, week out. You know, at the same end, if we bring in a player that really competes with Mertesacker and Koscielny, I'm happy with that too. But we definitely need, I think, four central defensive options going into the season. At the moment, we've got them, but I think Vermaelen's going to go. So if Vermaelen goes, then we need to address that.
And I think, personally, I think as good as Bellerin was, I still think there's quite a strong chance he'll head out on loan. Just because you've got Chambers there, having spent so much money on him, they'll want to make sure he gets games. And I still think a lot of those games this season will be at right back. So it wouldn't amaze me to see Bellerin go out and get regular football, hopefully at a good level, sort of high-end championship or perhaps even Premier League. And I think that'd be, you know, great for his development.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he looks quite exciting. But then, you know, we've seen that a number of times in players when the pressure's off and, you know, in pre-season they look impressive. But when it comes right down to it, they're not quite as good as we'd like them to be. But look, if he goes out on loan, maybe plays regularly, bulks up a little bit as well. He looks a little bit slight, I think. And I think he probably needs to learn a bit about defending just from playing, because that's how you do it for the most part. The experience of playing regularly is what teaches a player as much as anything, certainly anything you can replicate on the training ground. I remember last week we were talking about our predictions about how much we'd spend.
Yes.
So Joel Reitz was kind enough to tell me when the podcast was, which was on, I think it was May 28th.
Right.
And I then completely forgot about that and didn't listen to it. But thankfully, John Bogard emailed and he said, hello, Mr. Mangan, which is nice. That was nice.
Very formal.
In your last podcast, you asked about what your estimates were for transfer spending. I was on a long road trip, so decided to dive into the archives. So I'm assuming he's driving, listening to the podcast, and writing things down as he's going along. So he said, you estimated £54 million total spend with £40 million net. And Mr. McNicholas, which is
I really enjoyed that. Yeah.
This is great, John. Thanks. He said £42 million total, £33 million net. So he says, according to the bad information I have, the spending looks like this. Alexis, £32 million. Debussy, £12 million. Ospina, £3 million. Chambers, £16 million. He says that's a total of £63 million total spend and net spend. And then he says, these are rounded numbers because what is a few hundred thousand pounds among friends? And he's right, isn't he? He is right.
And in fact, you know, that Sanchez figure has been quoted as high as 35 in some places. So it may even be bigger than that. So we've been blown out of the water, really, haven't we?
Certainly in terms of the total spend, but the net spend could well come back if we move on a player or two. You know, Vermaelen goes to Barcelona, let's say £10 million. Maybe somebody else. All the talk of the midfielder coming in. If another midfielder comes in, you do feel like another midfielder has to go out. It just depends whether or not we get any money for that.
So, yeah, I mean, this is something that I've been thinking about. So I think everyone seems pretty accepting of the fact that Vermaelen's off. But do you think there'll be another major departure between now and the start of the season?
I wonder, because for all the talk of Khedira, if he comes in, right, he's not the defensive midfielder everyone's looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't then affect the position of someone like Arteta or Flamini. But it would perhaps affect the position of a player like Wilshere, or maybe even someone like Cazorla. There's been a lot of talk about Santi, hasn't there, this summer, and whether or not he's ready to go back to Spain. And in fairness, every time he talks, he says he's happy at Arsenal and willing to continue at Arsenal. But I don't know. If Joel Campbell comes in, I mean, where does Podolski fit as well? So, I mean, I guess this is the thing about having depth, is that it creates uncertainty over players who are not necessarily your first choice players. So I don't know. What do you think? I mean, could you see us selling somebody for big money?
Well, I mean, you know, there was always a lot of talk about Podolski, and I think if we've been asked at various points in the last season, I know I would have said, yeah, I reckon Podolski's off in the summer. You know, it looked very much that way. And then he got that run of games towards the end of the season with Walcott out, and that changed the picture slightly. As you say, with Campbell potentially coming into the squad, it wouldn't blow my mind at all to see him head out. It's difficult to see precisely where he fits in. You know, you think Cazorla will play games on the left. I think Sanchez may play some games on the left. You've got Campbell, who can do that as well. Oxlade-Chamberlain, who can do that as well. And I think those are all players who fit more naturally with Arsene Wenger's vision of how he wants the team to play.
None of them can score at a rate that Podolski does. He's got to be looking at... I mean, he can look so ineffective. And, I remember in the cup final, it was terrible. And then you look at the numbers, and I know he can't judge everything by numbers, but he just scores. He knows where the goal is, and to have that finishing ability in the squad, if you're looking for a player in the last 20 minutes to come on and get you a goal, it'd be hard to get rid of it.
I'd be sad to see him go. I'd definitely be sad to see him go. And I think you're right. He's incredibly efficient in the final third. And it's not just goals. His assists, ratio is good too. He's a great crosser, Podolski. Mm. When he gets the opportunity, he can really deliver a superb ball. And, Giroud profits from that. I think if I had to say that I think one will go, I think it will be him. I just feel like there is a slight sense of a square peg in a round hole with him still in this Arsenal team. And however much Wenger ends up playing, and I never feel like the manager sort of fully fancies him, as it were. I never feel like he fully I feel like he's never fully embraced him really as an Arsenal player after that initial bright start, and that would be the one that I'd have my eye on. The central midfield thing is absolutely fascinating, I agree, because we've got an abundance of options in there, and if we bring one in, some people are just absolutely not going to play enough games. A guy like Diaby is barely going to get a run out. And you do wonder if, like, maybe they'll let him go, send him off on a year's loan somewhere to try and get some kind of regular football to resurrect his career. Because if another signing arrives, it's very, very hard to see that happening at Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Diaby is I don't think you can include him in your plans, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to make long-term plans, I don't think they can include Diaby. And if he goes... good luck to him, and I hope he does. Hope he does well and stays fit. I think if he stays, you have to look at him as like a bonus player, in a way that if he's fit and if he's healthy, then he can provide some depth in games where we might need it, in cup games and Capital One Cup in Europe. So it's difficult to know how the manager is going to view it, or who will be the casualty if he brings somebody into midfield. But, this is a good problem, isn't it, to be talking about this rather than, oh, crap, we need X, Y, and Z. Do you know what? Actually, somebody sent me an email. Let me just see if I can bring it up here. I should have got it beforehand. I could add in some of that music, couldn't I? Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
We'll be right back. All right, we're back. And somebody, I think it was on Reddit, put together a squad list where you pick two teams out of the players that we've got. Okay, so they put together a first 11 of Szczesny, Koscielny, Mertesacker, Gibbs, Debuchy, Ramsey, Flamini, Ozil, Walcott, Sanchez, Giroud. So there's one 11. Here's a second 11 of Ospina, Chambers, Vermaelen, as it stands, Monreal, Bellerin, Arteta, Wilshere, Cazorla, Campbell, Sonogo, Oxlade-Chamberlain. And you'll notice that Podolski, Rosicki, and Diaby are not included in that.
Yeah.
So there's plenty there.
Yeah.
There's plenty
of depth. Mm. And Rosicki, you know, Rosicki signed a new contract, didn't he, fairly recently. So it's very hard. And also his experience in the squad, I think, is really important. We know how much Arsene Wenger adores him as a player. Mm. I don't think he's one that's going anywhere. The other two you mentioned who didn't make that cut, Podolski and Diaby. If you can find someone to take a gamble on Diaby, it wouldn't blow my mind to see them heading out the door between now and the end of the month.
Mm. All right. Well, we're going to leave it there for part one. Just to say thank you to the guy who emailed me this, but I just can't pronounce your name. It's P-O-Z-E-M-Y-S-K or L-A-W. So that's beyond my comprehension. I've never seen it before. So thank you all the same for the email. We're going to take a short break. We're back with your questions after this. This week's Arsecast Extra is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial to their service, just go to audibletrial.com/Arsecast. That's audibletrial.com/Arsecast, and you can get a book in your ear. Every sign-up does help us here on the Arsecast Extra, helps keep things going, so it's all very much appreciated. It's audibletrial.com/Arsecast.
Hello and welcome back to the Arsecast Extra. We're going to have a look at some of your questions now. And the first one comes from Adars Hatal. And I've read that wrong. It's Adarsh Atal.
Okay, well,
I'm
sure he'll forgive you.
I hope so. Sorry, Adarsh. He asks, Khedira or Carvalho, who do you want and whom will we actually get?
That's a good question. I really haven't seen a lot of Carvalho. I have to say. But in terms of the profile of the player that we need, or people want anyway, you would have to say he's closer to it than Khedira. Khedira is obviously a very, very good footballer, but not the defensive midfielder everybody wants. So it's hard to tell what the manager is going to do on this one, whether he's looking for that outright defensive midfielder in Carvalho that will come in and displace Arteta and Flamini. Simple as that. If he's going to spend that kind of money on a player, it's going to be for a first-team player. Or he's looking at Khedira as somebody to work with Ramsey, perhaps, or alongside Ramsey, or to have secure... I don't know. You see, I find it difficult to see the logic of Khedira, and that makes me think it's more likely to happen, because you see that sometimes with Arsene Wenger. Remember the summer we signed Bakary Sagna, and everyone went, well... We've got Hoyt coming through and Boué is there. Nobody was particularly troubled about our right-back situation, but he went out and bought one. So that makes me think that Khedira is a more likely arrival than Carvalho. But if you were to ask me who I see fitting better in the team, I think Carvalho would. Despite not having seen him that much, but just in terms of what people say about him and the way that he plays... you know, when you've got two players around the 30, 33 mark like Arteta and Flamini, that seems like the area that needs more work. What about you? Mm.
Yeah, I think Carvalho, from again, the little I've seen of him, is a more natural holding player than Khedira. He started his career playing further advanced, you know, as a kind of number 10, but he now plays that much deeper role. The other thing that's in his favour is that he's, I think, 5 years younger than Khedira.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arsblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arsblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arsblog.
We know that if Arsene Wenger's going to spend big, he likes to do it on young talent, talent that's got a residual value that can still... Oh, that's an annoying sound. Let's stop that. Talent that's got a residual value.
And that I didn't hear still, it, by the way, so...
Oh, did you not?
No.
It was my Gmail chat, you know, bling, bling.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, quite irritating. I've just closed it. A guy who's still, you know, he's going to retain his value, he's going to improve, going to develop, and I think Khedira... at 27, with a lot of injuries behind him, is less obviously that guy. But as you say, with Arsene Wenger, he moves in mysterious ways, this man. We all remember the transfer window where we were crying out for a holding midfielder and a centre-back, and he bought Andrea Sharvin, a tiny wee playmaker. So it's hard to predict what we will do. If you were trying to just pick a piece to complete the jigsaw, Carvalho seems the more obvious choice. I mean, do you give a lot of credence to the smoke around those particular fires? Do you think there is interest there in those players based on the amount of stories we're seeing?
Yeah, I think that... Well, I don't know really anything about Carvalho, but I did hear that there's definitely a belief that we're doing something with Khedira. Mm. That certainly on the training ground, there was talk about him and his arrival being imminent. Mm. So I don't know about Carvalho, but there's clearly something going on with the midfield thing. But obviously, given the numbers that we had, and we talked about it before the break, it's not like it's a pressing issue. So I think the manager can play the long game, and I think he likes doing that. And it wouldn't surprise me if things went all the way to deadline day.
Yeah, especially in the case of Khedira. In fact, both these players, Khedira, because his contract's running out in a year's time, so... there'll be a desire to secure him for the best possible fee. You know, we won't want to pay over the odds for someone who's going to be a free in 12 months. And Carvalho, because he's got, like a lot of players in Portugal, a buyout clause that, you know, Sporting will be trying to get people as close to as possible. So they both feel like quite protracted deals potentially. And I do wonder if we'll be waiting until the final days of the window to see if either of those pan out.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Here's one from East Stand Stan, which is mm-hmm. more difficult to say than you might think.
I think you did well.
Yeah. He says, two right backs out, two right backs in. Goalkeeper out, goalkeeper in. Sanchez aside, it's hardly progress. What do you think? What do you think of that contention?
That's interesting, isn't it? Because there's such a positive atmosphere among the fans and around the club at us having done some business. So two right backs out, Sanya and Jenkinson out, two goalkeepers out. A goalkeeper out, sorry. Yeah, I mean, I'd say we've improved in a lot of areas. So, for me, I think Ospina Fabianski was excellent last season, but I think Ospina in the long term presents a greater threat to the number one shirt. In terms of right backs, maybe we're about where we were last season. I think Chambers and Debussy weighed up against Jenkinson and Sanya. Well, I think Sanya's the best of those four. I think, you know, that would be a fairly even scales there. I think it's what I basically think is that you can't say, setting aside Sanchez, I think it's such an important signing that it does actually dramatically change the nature of our squad and what it means for next season. Mm. He has so much of what we lacked in terms of that kind of pace and excitement in the final third, that I think just putting him to one side, especially when it's a £35 million investment we're talking about here, is a little bit unfair when you're assessing the progress we've made. I think the squad is in a stronger position than it was at the end of last season. And I think what's exciting and what we've just talked about before is that we're going to push on, and I think, you know, we might do one or two more. Obviously, if Vermaelen was to go and he wasn't to be adequately replaced, then you'd be in a position where you'd be seriously concerned about depth in that area.
Yeah.
But given the way we've done our business this summer, I can't see that happening. I'm sure that we'll do what we need to make sure we're in good shape. What's your feeling? Do you think it's been a summer of progress?
Yeah, I do, because I think there's other factors as well. You can't just look at it as, you know, names in and names out, positions in, positions out. You know, there's player improvement. You'd be looking at somebody like Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, for example, to have a bigger impact this season. Theo Walcott to come back. There's the intangible of confidence and self-belief that you get from winning the FA Cup. You know, that's obviously made a big difference to the players, that they feel like winners now. Whereas they're not, you know, the aim of the season isn't just to win something, but also to get over the mountain of 10 years or 9 years without a trophy. That's not there anymore. So, and as we talked about in the break, you've got players in every position. That's not to say we can't still improve our squad, but, you know, I think the progress doesn't just rely on what we did this summer, but also on what happened at the end of last season and how we then take that into the new campaign. So there. That's my
So there.
And I meant that in the nicest possible way. What was the name again? East Stand Stan. Thank you, Stan.
Thanks, Stan. Cool. Should we have another one?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. This is from Ross Adams. Ross Adams 33 being his Twitter username. And we talked about midfielders. We talked about who might come in. He asks, if you had to sell one of Arteta or Flamini, who would you choose?
If I had to, like, absolutely had to.
You've got to. So you've brought in, let's say, William Carvalho, and you've decided you've got too many holding midfielders there. Which one is going to get the bullet?
I really like Arteta. I like what he does and what he's done since he arrived, but he's 33.
Mm-hmm.
But Flamini's a bit, you know, yeah. He's not as good a player as Arteta, I don't think. He's more tackly and more robust in the general scheme of things, but more likely to get you a yellow card and what have you. And I just think Arteta has a leadership quality and an influence that I think is important, even if it's just for another season. So I would, given that we've brought in somebody who's going to be like a first choice DM, I would still keep Arteta around for his leadership qualities, his overall positivity, his influence in the dressing room and on the training ground. Whereas I think Flamini is, you know, happy kind of guy, and maybe people would miss him a little bit, but, you know. And what I know about, that's taking a risk because of the age difference, you know, there's 3 years and everything else. But I think I just feel happier selling Flamini than Arteta.
What about, just to fight Flamini's corner briefly, what about his versatility? Would that make any difference to you, the fact he can cover at fullback?
That's a good point, but we do seem to have
All the fullbacks.
We've got two left-backs. We've got three options for right-back. Yeah, I mean, there is that string to his bow, but when is the last time Flamini ever played there? I know he did brilliantly in that run to the Champions League final, but...
Yeah, he did it briefly, I think, during a game last season as a kind of emergency option. But
yeah, I mean, I think Flamini's like a guy that, you know, he'll just do what he's told. Go there and do that. Okay, boom, I'll do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not perhaps the most cultured. So, yeah, that would be my thinking, because then you're looking at, you know, you could add somebody else to that position, you know, the following summer to deputize or to understudy this new mythical, fabled, awesome DM that we've just bought.
Okay.
What would you
do? Going for? Yeah, I would keep Arteta around, actually. I do think he's a superior player. And also, we talked about Rosicki earlier and how important he is to the squad in terms of being a bit of a leader, a bit of a figurehead. And I think Arteta's very similar. He's the vice captain. He's the captain on the pitch, you know, in 90% of games last season. And I think, he's a really important member of the team and an important member of the squad. And as much as I like Flamini and I like his energy, I feel like he was brought in as a kind of emergency option in some respects. He was brought in as a short-term signing. And so he'd be the one who, if I was going to let one go, it would be Flamini, I'm afraid.
All right. Cheerio, Flamster. All right. Next one comes in from... Why don't I just ever pick them from John Smith? This is from Anurag Mulpuri. That's at Anurag5959.
Okay.
And he wants to know, with the Community Shield coming up on Sunday, who would you pick for the striker position? Sanchez, Giroud, or Yaya?
I would pick, to my slight surprise, Yaya Sanogo. I'll tell you why.
You do that.
Okay. I've got to explain this. Well, the first reason is that Giroud, I think, is kind of out of contention. Arsene Wenger sort of said he doesn't look ready. And I know that games are the only way he's going to get ready, but I'm not sure he'll start on Sunday. I think he might only play half the game and maybe it'll be the second half. I also just sort of feel like Yaya did so well in the Emirates Cup. Like, I feel like give him an opportunity, give him, you know, if we can get another goal or another couple of goals, we'll have a better player on our hands for it. The reason I wouldn't choose Sanchez to play through the middle, I do think he'll play, but I think he'll play wide. It's just that I think as he adapts to English football, he will play on the flank predominantly. And with Theo Walcott still being injured, I think that's sort of where he's going to start out. And, you know, once he's a bit accustomed to the physicality, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see him switch into the centre. So I think it's between Giroud and Sanogo. And just listening to what Arsene Wenger said the other day, I wonder if Sanogo's ahead, as it were, in the race for fitness, and given that might start. I mean, the obvious counter to that is if Giroud doesn't play, how's he ever going to get ready? But I think, you know, he'll play a good part of the game. I just wonder if with Sanogo's confidence on a high, Wenger might look to exploit that and see if he can build him up that little bit more before the start of the season. Mm. What do you reckon? Do you think he'll go Giroud?
I don't think so, because I thought the comments about his fitness were quite pointed. Mm. You know, to say he's not ready is obvious because he's just back from his holidays and, you know, the World Cup and everything else. But I do wonder if there was something a little bit more to that, you know, he is a player, obviously, because of his size and everything else, needs to be sharper to be effective. And I get that. But I just wonder if there was something a little bit more to the manager's comments that, look, well, maybe you come back a little bit out of shape. If Sanogo's fit, I don't see the problem with starting him. The Community Shield is essentially a glorified friendly. It's, you know, we played Manchester City in China a couple of seasons back, and I don't know what the score was, and nobody cares. And I don't see the Community Shield as anything other than a warm-up game for the new season. So I'm not that invested in the result of it, which obviously I'd like us to win, but more about the performance and how the team works and gels, if that makes sense. So I'm happy enough to go with Sanogo and Sanchez, but Sanchez wide. I just wonder if Oxlade-Chamberlain might be considered for the wide role as well. Arsene Wenger talked about him making a big difference when he came on against Monaco in the Emirates Cup. So he could well go with Sanchez on the... down the middle, but we'll see. I think Sonogo went off with a bit of an injury against Benfica, so it all depends.
You're right, yeah.
It all depends how fit he is. So there you go. All right.
Well, we shall see.
Yeah.
It's my question, isn't it?
It is.
I'm very bad at this aspect of it. You know, you'd think it'd be quite simple just to alternate, but I constantly lose track of whose turn it is.
Yeah.
Well, this question, it comes from Ben Cross at Ben Cross Fit, and he asks, are there any other sports you think players in our squad could play, i.e. Mertesacker basketball?
Yeah. I think there are.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Like all of them, you know. If they felt like turning their hand to golf, for example. I believe Aaron Ramsey is quite a good golfer. And Andre Santos, well, he could have been a race car driver, I guess. But I'm struggling to find the obvious angle on this one. Yeah, Mertesacker stole so he could play basketball. Santi Cazorla could be a jockey, could he not?
Or a cox.
Yeah.
No, in a boat. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Right, good. Yeah. I mean...
Well, could Francis Coquelin, if he had twin brother, they could be cox.
They could indeed, yeah. Both the pair of them. I mean, I'd quite like to see Santi Cazorla be a jockey. I imagine that he'd be quite good at it. It's not just his size. There's just something about his demeanour.
His flair.
I can see him.
Like a smiling.
Yeah. I think I can see him like on a steeplechase, like really going for it. That would be quite good. Yeah, Mertesacker basketball, you know, there's a few lanky players you could, you know, Diaby maybe. But, I mean, any other sport for Diaby is just sort of an accident waiting to happen, isn't it? Mm. What about, like, ultimate fighting? Flamini?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Debussy looks like he could be a bit of an ultimate fighter, doesn't he? He's got that hair. Sanchez as well. He's, you know, he's got that ripped.
Some sort of wrestler. You know, like a, you know, Luca Libre kind of flying around wrestler. I don't know, really, other than that. I haven't really... Oh, apparently Aaron Ramsey was quite good at rugby.
Was he?
Yeah. Just throwing that out there.
I think I have to say, and I base this only on what I've seen in the World Cup, but I think the new goalkeeper, David Ospina, I suspect he could be really, really good at curling. There's just something about his broom technique that makes me think, yeah, he could do it. He could sweep the ice with panache and style and effectiveness. So the big, gigantic, handly thing ends up near the what's it, where it's supposed to go.
It is quite the sport, quite the thrilling thing to watch happen. I do find it quite entertaining, the curling, when it's on. I will watch it.
Yeah.
There's something absurd about the whole thing that I find quite enjoyable. I thought for David Ospina you were going to say, like, diving or something, because I think he looks like a good keeper, but he does... When he signed for Arsenal, there were a few videos floating around, and I think he enjoys a spectacular fling towards the ball. I think he's a diver,
that kind of thing.
Maybe. I mean, he's one who doesn't mind, you know, a save for the cameras, I seem to have picked up. So that could be something to watch out for next season, nonetheless. Well, anyway, we've had a good go, haven't we?
We've
allocated a few sports.
Yeah. All right, here's one from Tyler Tuhura. And he asks, if you had the power to grant one player immunity from injury for the rest of the season or for the entire season, who would it be?
Wow, great question. I'll tell you the candidates that are going through my mind. So the first was Aaron Ramsey.
Yeah.
Because I think his injury last season was so, so costly. The next was Per Mertesacker.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lauren Koscielny would have to be considered too. I think, you know, without obvious replacements, you know, experienced replacements for those in the squad, they're right up there. I'm going to go for Per Mertesacker. Just because at his best, I just feel our defence looks so much more solid and secure with him there. when you take him out, I'm not sure we've got anyone with those kind of organisational abilities. So he is the one. I think Ramsey is obviously incredibly important, but in terms of creative, dynamic midfield talent, we are quite blessed. We have, you know, Jack Wilshere, Mesut Ozil, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Santi Cazorla, players who, although they're not, you know, exact parallels with Ramsey, can do some of those jobs, and we can find other ways to cover his absence. But at the back, at the moment, we just haven't got those options. So I would sign Perma, Saka up for immunity. How about you?
Pragmatic answer there. You got a you got a future in wish management. I have to say, I would agree with all of the things that you said, particularly about the central defenders. And I think I would probably, though, just go for Jack Wilshere, because I'd really like to see him go through a season without any injuries to see whether or not he can fulfill the potential that people have spoken about for so long. So if he was to have a campaign where he had no injuries and he felt great and he played brilliantly, and all of a sudden people are going, yes, Jack's arrived, he's done it at last, then I think we'd all be very happy. And if with a season without injury he didn't manage to reach the heights that we wanted him to, at least then that makes it easier to make whatever decision you have to make then. So that would be my one.
I think that's a really that's a nice one. Yeah. It's very nice.
It is. There's a niceness to that.
Yeah, which I enjoyed. Well, we shall see. You know, hopefully they all stay fit, and, you know, this is a moot question, but if there is anyone listening out there, those are the two we've chosen. Don't fuck this up.
Have you got one more?
I haven't, no. I'm really worried, though. I feel like we've just done an absolute mega jinx.
There's no such thing as jinxing. There isn't.
No.
There
okay.
isn't.
All right. What about that, football fans what about that run of weeks where we kept predicting stuff and it kept happening? That was weird.
That was kind of weird.
Yeah, and then we talked about global conflict and then it happened. We've got to be careful.
We really do. Oh, shit, we already talked about ice ages. So we have started the next ice age. Hang on.
The freeze is coming.
Well, it looks all right out there at the moment. Okay, I've got one final question.
Go on then.
And this comes from Hunter Steffs, which is at Hunter Steffs. And he wants to know, and this is a quite serious question. He wants to know, would you rather see Arsenal sign a ghost, a mummy, Wolfman, Dracula, Frankenstein, or a skeleton? So you've got, I mean, there's your options. You're sitting there at your desk. You've got the cards in front of you. Ghost, mummy, Wolfman, Dracula, Frankenstein, or a skeleton?
I think I want a Wolfman. I think I do. I'll tell you why. I'm quite influenced. Have you ever seen the film Teen Wolf?
Yes, I have, of course. With yes. Michael J. Fox.
Where Michael J. Fox is the basketball-playing Wolfman. And the thing is, his wolf powers make him exceptional at basketball. And there's this sort of, you know, as far as I remember, he kind of transforms into the wolf either before or sometimes during games in order to, you know, generate that extra advantage. And I do think it'd be very exciting seeing someone in an Arsenal shirt. I mean, it'd be great if we could even bestow it on one of the current members of the squad that just, you know, they sort of project a full moon into the sky above the Emirates Stadium, and then they that tight puma shirt bursts as a sort of hairy wolfman emerges and just charges up the pitch with the ball between his jaws and takes it over the line. That's what I want. If I was even Gazidis presented with those options, that's the deal I'd be signing.
Yeah, I have to agree. Not from the Teen Wolf angle, but because all the others are completely unsuitable for the football that we like to play. Ghost, right? For a start, a ghost can't kick the ball because he's ethereal.
Yes.
Right? A mummy, he's quite, you know, slow and lumbering and, you know, and he's got, like, bandages wrapped around his head so he can't fucking see. Yeah. Then you've got Dracula. Now, Dracula's a vampire, and vampires can do cool shit, like they can move really fast. But Dracula's just a bit of a fucking asshole, isn't he? When you think about it. You know, he's all tied up in this love for Mina. And it's just like, you know, you'd be in the middle of a game, and you'd be looking for him to make a run down the left, and he'd be just thinking about Mina and how heartbroken he was. And then he'd go, Vin! Like Gary Oldman in the thing, right? So fuck Dracula. Frankenstein, okay. Look, come on. That's not going to work. That's not. We tried that with Abu Dhabi by replacing bits of all other people to put them together. It's not.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but it hasn't. And a Skellington, for their comedy purposes, brilliant. But all, you know, imagine a highball coming down. Skellington tries to take it on his chest, and all of a sudden, he's just, there's bones everywhere. So yeah. Wolfman is the only possible option for that. Also because he has added evisceration potential. That he could,
that.
Not only could he run through the defence with the ball in his jaws, he could then, you know, get out the claws and rip out the bowels of defenders and everything else. And I think that's something that we'd all like to see.
I think we need to see a bit more of that from the Arsenal squad.
Yes.
A bit more bowel ripping.
Yes. Yes.
Lovely.
So I think on that point, Hunter, Wolfman is the unanimous choice. And hopefully before the end of the transfer window, we sign that very player.
Hopefully so.
All right.
Carvalho, Khedira, or Wolfman?
Wolfie. Come on, Wolfie. All right, well, look, continue to enjoy Edinburgh.
Thank you.
And all the famous people you're hanging out with or touching or being quite near.
Standing near, mainly, yep.
And we'll do this again next week, so until the next Starscast Extra, take it easy.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.